22. Luke 22. And here we read a part of the story not long before Jesus is crucified. It's of enormous importance to us. Luke 22, verse 1 says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. I'm praying that God is going to bless this word to us today. Now let's take our hymn books again and remain seated. But look at these words and consider them carefully. 366, All to Jesus I surrender. Do you? All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. So here is a beautiful hymn. Sing it carefully.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know thy power divine. To Jesus I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
And now please turn to 435. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to him in prayer.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, but with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake they? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
It's a beautiful song, 425. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And we might just lift this up before the Lord and sing it quietly to him.
I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God disclosed. talks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. On he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, and the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Isn't that a beautiful hymn? I used to go to an old people's home in when we lived in California, and they always wanted that thing sung, and nobody could sing. And the first time I was there, they said, "Oh, please, can we sing this hymn?" So I thought they'd all sing. And their voices were so thin and so frail, they didn't sing. So my voice was louder than all of them put together. And the staff members came from all parts of the building. And I looked up, and around the doors of the room we were in were all the staff, lots of the staff members, the cooks and the nurses and people. And I realized that this was not a ministry just to old people, but to all that were in that building. Well, I want to talk to you about the Word of God. This is a very important piece of Scripture, and I want to share it with you in a very important way. Is there a children's church today? Is there children's church? No? Yes. Off you go to children's church, dear young people, please. If you'll turn, while the children are going, to Luke 22. Lucas 22thus. Glad you heard that. Now here's this story that we read together, and it's the part where the Lord Jesus is preparing his disciples. And I have to say to you, I just want to comment. Because of the importance of this precious word, you'll find in verses 1 and 2, the earth's preparation for Jesus. Just look at it. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread, drew nigh, which is called Passover, the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, but for they feared the people. Do you want the fan on? Can you turn? Oh, do you know where it is, David? You've got, the fan is there. It's the round knob, and you turn it on. There you go. Thank you. It is hot in here. Hope nobody freezes. Now, Ava usually freezes, and she's sitting in the right place to get frozen somewhere. Where's Ava? Oh, there she is. She's got a woolly shirt on, so she's all right. Now, this is earth's preparation for Jesus. Let's see how we can kill him. Let's see how we can betray him. Let's see what we can do to this Jesus and wreck him. How can we destroy his ministry? That was the earth's preparation for Jesus. That should shake us up. We should all be trembling, because today we are still saying the same thing in different ways. And today the name of Jesus is not honored apart from a few who love him dearly. I hope you're that few. I pray most days that you are the few that love him dearly. And you wouldn't betray him. But then let's look at the second piece here. In verses 3 through 6, we read of hell's preparation. Now remember, Satan has yet to go to hell. And if you remember that, here is the preparation that hell was making through Satan. And Satan was preparing. Satan entered into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He went his way, communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray Jesus unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray Jesus unto them in the presence of the multitude. So at first they're worried about the multitude. Now they want him betrayed in the presence of the multitude. They want to do Jesus so much harm that he has no ministry. And it's the same today. Mankind has not changed. For scribes and Pharisees, we can put in politicians. For scribes and Pharisees, we can put in the teachers of schools. For the scribes and Pharisees, we can put in people that have authority over the population who deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And he is not the Savior, they say. So we now come to the next movement, which is heaven's preparation. Look at verse 7. It says here, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And then he sends Peter and John on this journey. And they have to go into this village over against them, and they have to say to a man that they don't know. This is a very intriguing story. Jesus said, there you'll see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Who carried water in those days only? Women. And if you go there today, you can, I don't know how they do this, by the way, but they have these great big pots on their head with about 10 gallons in them, and they balance those things, and those women walk fast. They do it in India and all parts of Asia and also in the Middle East. And these ladies carry the water. Now they got up early, they went to the well, they drew the water out, and then they went on their way because they had so many chores to attend to for the rest of the day. But they had water to wash in, they had water to cook with, and they had water for whatever you use water for. Now, here is a man. That was the signal. Jesus said, you'll see a man carrying water. That was a peculiar thing. Notice how God speaks to us today in the most peculiar method and different ways. He says, there is something peculiar about what I'm telling this person to do. Now you go and do it. You may feel in your heart somehow that you ought to go here, there, or somewhere, and you ought to make contact with this person or that person. Go and do it, because you don't know how peculiar you are to God. It doesn't mean peculiar, all twisted and bent, but peculiar, different. I saw something this week I've never seen before. We've been having a lot of antelope run from this field across to that field, and deer running from that field to this field. And I don't know who sets up the whole thing, and I don't know who drops the flag. And I don't know how they understand who does what. But all of a sudden, you'll see them reversing and going back to the different fields. And then a little while later, they go back again, backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. And some days, this last 2 or 3 weeks, it's been happening daily, and it's been happening every morning in particular, usually before 8 o'clock. But it's been happening. Well, 2 days ago, I said, "Dorini, look at this. That's a beautiful buck antelope. Look at him." And he had lovely prong horns, and they came round almost in a heart shape, almost perfect. And then I said, "But look at that one." So I got the binoculars and had to look at that one. He had a beautiful pronghorn on the left, and it stood right up in the air. It was taller than the one that had this beautiful arch on his head. But his other antler or horn, whatever you call it, went out sideways. And it was the most peculiar thing, because it went out sideways and dropped downwards. That was the one I'd like to shoot, so that I could bring it here and say, "See, told you." Because you don't believe me right now by the way you're looking at me. But truly, he had this beautiful pronghorn on the left and this kittywampus one on the side. How strange. How strange. See, and there are peculiar things that happen in our lives. We have a horn that grows out the side that's supposed to be straight up. One day, a deer came down and it was limping. Oh, it was limping. Well, you can't do anything to help them. But I watched this deer for several weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, and his limp didn't get any better. But I noticed something about, or her limp didn't get any better, but I noticed something about this lady. All the little ones whose mamas were gone out into the field, they would traipse around this limping one who was slower than all the rest, and they'd feed from her. Now, that doesn't happen with deer. That's a peculiar deer. Peculiar. You're a very peculiar person. You're different. And you just might be sent on a journey to do something. And God may be saying to you, "I want you to go here, go there. I want you to go and do this for me." Do it. And do it now. If you notice, heaven's preparation is very interesting. Because as you go through from verse 7 to 13, Jesus is teaching about the Passover and he's applying it to his life and their experience. And heaven's preparation is that you and I should take bread and we should break it and we should give to the bread to one another, and we should remember the body of Jesus, which is broken for us. That's a peculiar thing, isn't it? Strange. Different. It's a place where Jesus took the cup, and when he had supped, he poured more wine in the cup, and he passed it, and he said, "I want you to share this with you, because I want you to remember my blood is going to get spilled out on the ground, poured out, so that you can be cleansed and be right with God, and you can live forever in eternity." That's an odd thing. I wonder if we were to say to Mrs. Clinton, Mr. Obama, and Mr. McCain, "Can you promise us eternity?" The answer is yes, but they won't say that, because eternity for some people is death, continual separation from Christ. So they won't say that because they know the theology, but they don't admit to the theology. But if you were to take those three people and ask that question, "Can you promise us enjoyment and privilege and blessing in eternity?" They can't promise you that. Nor can a preacher. Nor can a priest. nor can a friend except Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to him in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We chuck away. What needless pain we bear. And it's because we don't carry everything to Jesus in prayer. But you see, this is a great teaching. In the first book of Samuel, we discover how it was that King Saul was disqualified. Oh, can you imagine being disqualified from the Lord's work, but still be in the Lord's work? Somebody said to me, "Will you come and fellowship with us? We're installing a new preacher. He's a homosexual." I said, "Absolutely not." Oh, they said, "But you have to. You mustn't be bigoted." I'm not bigoted. How can uncleanliness foister blessing? It's impossible. And if you read Leviticus, if you read Deuteronomy, if you read from the 29th chapter onwards through Exodus, you will discover that God has given a new and living way for people to be cleansed. If you go into Isaiah, he says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come hither and eat and drink." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. I am the wine that will cleanse you. I will quench your thirst and you'll never thirst again. Come to me." You see, but we don't like that. That's too spiritual. It's too easy. It's too simple. That's for the simple-minded and the people that can't think. Well, maybe it is. Thank God for the simple-minded and the people that can't think. Would you admit to simple-mindedness? And you can't think? So that you could have Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. Why? Because all to him is life for me. So Jesus talked to these men and he told them about heaven's preparation. Now, look at verses 14. Through 23, and I can't spend much time here, but I'll shorten it down, but here is the heart's preparation. And if you look at verse 14, you discover when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles, and he said to them with desire, "I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And they couldn't understand what he was saying. It's a terrifying thing that what happens to Jesus is that his friend, his apostle, the person that said he was with Jesus and would not betray him, betrayed him. And Jesus says, if you read on in that piece of scripture, excuse me, Judas comes to Jesus and he kisses him. He had said to the scribes and the Pharisees, the soldiers who had the staves and the torches and their swords, he said, "It's the one I kiss. I want to talk to you very seriously about this. And I want to ask you a question that I'm going to ask you to answer. Not out loud, but in your heart, now, today. This is what I want to say to you. If I were to question you and ask you, do you love the Lord Jesus, would you say yes? Yes. Now, here's the bad side of this. Do you still swear? Do you still drink? Do you still take the name of the Lord in vain? Do you still steal? You're a traitor. On the one side of the mouth, we say, we love you, Lord. On the other side of the mouth, but we don't obey you, Lord. And back into 1 Samuel. The sin of Ai was that Saul knew that gold and silver was hidden in a tent. He knew that some of the choicest animals were put to one side, and he knew that what had taken place was in disobedience to God. And listen to this. The scribes, the Pharisees, the religious units of the day, the religious leaders of the day, all did the right things and all said the right things. But they lied. And Samuel stands in front of King Saul and he says, I hear bleating sheep, mooing cows. And that's why God has deserted you. You are a traitor. Listen to these words. He says in the 23rd verse of that chapter, and I've forgotten the chapter, about 15 and something like that. He said, God would rather have obedience than sacrifice. Now, I appreciate you coming to church. Please don't stop coming. We want you in church. We love you. But I have to say this to you. If the chips were down, and if we could be totally honest, do you really love Jesus? Then you will be obedient. If you love me, keep my commandments. Love one another. Bless them that curse you. Isn't that shattering? I'm sometimes frightened that I will not pray for enemies. I will not pray that God will forgive them for fear that they get forgiven too soon and don't suffer enough for my liking. True. You rat. We have an attitude. Oh, dear people, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss, with affection. You can sit here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and we can get all caught up in it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Jesus he is. And I mean every single word I sing, how I love Jesus, but I betray him when I deliberately put myself in the way of sinning and deliberately allowed myself to go off in a tangent and sin. I betray his holiness, his purity, his love, his trust. For he has placed in me and in you who believe in him, he has placed in us this wonderful trust that we will love him and we will show him to other people by the lives that we live. How are you doing? I certainly don't want to be called a traitor. Do you? I wouldn't think so. Break my heart. But as a pastor preacher, I look on congregations and I long that they all come to this place where they know Jesus and they love him and they are not a traitor to him. And he says, you know, you don't have anything to barter with. You don't have any money or anything that we can exchange, but you can come to me. And if you come to me just as you are without one plea, but that my blood was shed for thee, O Lamb of God, you cry out, come. Just come to me, said Jesus, and I will give you rest. rest. How wonderful. The woman at the well was immoral. She'd had five husbands. She couldn't go to the well during the day, during the early morning, because all the women wouldn't allow her in the well. They wouldn't let her get there. And she'd spend a couple of hours trying to get water, and she'd never get it. So she came at midday, and Jesus met her at midday. He met her where she was to do what he wanted to do with her. And he said, if you would give me water, I'd appreciate it. But if you had any sense, you'd ask me to give you water, for the water that I shall give will never run out and you'll never thirst again. Give me off this water, she said. So dear friends, dear people, loving Jesus is a very, very important and difficult thing, and yet it's so simple. We step out of godlessness into godliness. We step out of darkness into light. We step out of need into fulfillment. We step away from sin into life eternal. And God has promised us he will never turn us away. Do you need to come? Do you need to come? I know. Some of you say, oh my word, I've been a traitor. Well then, quietly where you sit, just come to the Lord and say, Lord, my traitorness has been terrible. And I realize how awful it has been. Wash me, that I may be white as snow. Create within me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Will you come? We're going to have this time of communion. We're going to remember the Lord's death till he comes. We're going to break bread together. We're going to just spend a short time in a very sanitary way remembering Jesus. And I'm going to say this to you with a lot of love, so don't be criticized. But I'm going to say this to you. If you go to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23, 4, 5, 6, 25, 24, 5 and 6. If you go there, you'll see hear the Apostle Paul saying, be careful how you eat and drink this cup, this bread. Be careful. Because if you're being a traitor, you'll eat and drink unworthily. If you are not right with God, if you don't receive Jesus or haven't received the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you're wrong to eat and drink. Now, I want you all to eat and drink. But on the basis of this fact, that you love Jesus more than you love yourself, you love Jesus more than anyone else. Do you love him? So eat, so drink. Don't eat and drink damnation to yourself. So this is what Paul is saying in that 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. And I've read it to you most Sundays where we have communion. I've just changed it a bit today. Same thing. So will you come with your heart open to the Lord and eat this bread and drink this cup? Will you? Anybody in your life that you've not forgiven? Anything going on that you really are not proud of, that you don't know what to do with it? Come unto me, said Jesus. I will rest you. I love that. I will rest you. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, as in a moment or two we take these emblems and we remember that you are our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the brightness of eternity. You are the joy of every heart. Lord, we just ask that you will bless all of us here. Bring us all to that very solemn place where we recognize this bread represents your body which is torn up. And this cup represents your shed blood which was poured out. And we ask you, please, Lord, if we're relying on the past or relying on our religion, that you will take that reliance away, that we may rely on the salvation that Jesus purchased on our behalf. So we cast ourselves hopelessly in your presence. Wash us, please, Lord, that we might be like the driven snow. And we ask these things for your namesake. Amen. Men, would you help me, please, with this distribution? When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," he was using the expression, "I am." And God said to Israel, to Moses, "Tell them that I am has sent me." And poor old Moses had to go to Pharaoh and say, "I am sent me." When Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," it made sense. Does it make sense to you? Let's just pray again. Lord, this bread is nothing really except to remember you by. And we do so because you are so precious to us. Bless now this moment's for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you. Jesus said, when he had supped, he took bread and he broke it And he said, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord, we recognize the crucifixion was a horrendous thing. We truly don't know how to respond to it sometimes. And yet in love, you sought us. And we thank you that you found us and chose us from the foundation of the world and brought us into that eternity that cannot change. Now as we take this cup and remember your shed blood poured out to wash our sins away, we ask your blessing upon it for Jesus' sake. Amen. After the same manner also, Jesus, when he had supped, took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink ye all of it. While the men are collecting the glasses, I wanted to say to you, we have Rini's niece from Wales, She is a little fish. But she's sitting beside Rini. She's here today. She's here for two Sundays. And then she goes back to Wales. And you might welcome her. Those of you that are visiting, you're enormously welcome here. And we thank you for coming. Everett, is there any news on Mark? Good. Mark, Everett and Sandy's other son, another son, brother to Tim, was in a car wreck on Thursday, was it? Or Friday? And broke his neck. And they thought he would be paraplegic for a while, but now he's got all his bits and pieces coming back to life, and they think he'll be healed up and be able to function again. I will say this to you from experience: once they tie into your spine, once the doctors go in, I don't think you ever get well, but some people do, but most people don't. So pray. His name is Mark. Mark. Mark, the second gospel, you can remember that. Pray for him. It's going to be a long, long road ahoe. Very long. There's something else I needed to tell you, but I've forgotten. So I'm going to end this way. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and know peace. Pray for Heather. Pray for Kendra and Joey. Cody. I'm having a terrible mental problem here. Pray for them. And pray for Paul. They need your love. They need your help. They need your understanding. Excuse me. We're going to sing 385. I'm going to ask you to stand to sing this. It's so beautiful. Just sing it to the Lord Jesus. Lift it up and let the world know that Jesus at the cross, or near the cross I should say, keep me near the cross. 385.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. Just fountain to all the healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory. Raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Now you're a beautiful choir. Think now, you're a beautiful choir. You're wonderful. Say, I've got the voice of an angel. Can you say that? Say, I've got a voice like an angel. No. No, I'm listening to you from heaven. You've got a voice like an angel. I want you to sing this to the Lord. And I don't want you to do it down here in the cross. Come on, get some life. And it's a beautiful hymn. And you ought to be able to sing it clearly. Verse 2.
Near the cross a trembling soul, live and mercy found me. There a Lord, a dawning star, shed its beams around me.
Sing it now.
In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river, near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help my weak in grave today, with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in that cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In that cross, oh, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my wretched soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Father, we are in your hands. Our moments, our minutes, our hours, our days, our weeks, our months, our years. And we are confident that in your hand we are kept by the great love of God that surpasseth all understanding, the great peace of God that never fadeth away. And we ask that you will keep us in such confidence in you that your blessing may pour out upon our lives now and evermore. Amen.